Well, there are many cases we could talk about, but let's bring you to May 27th, 1981. You would have been 25 years old?
Absolutely. 25 and a little bit frustrated that homicide wasn't as action-packed as I was wanting it to be. And I remember I was on evening shift, and myself and a couple other guys, R.T. Jones and Bob Shockey, who are both retired now, were sitting with Sergeant Jordan. And we were trying to figure out where we were going to eat dinner. It was a big decision of the night.
What time was that?
A little bit after 4, coming up on 5 o'clock. So we got the call from the dispatcher that there had been a shooting at Southern Hills. It's kind of just like on TV. You grab your coat, your radio, and you're heading out the door, and everybody's got their 2 cents worth. So we were thinking maybe it was the kitchen help, or maybe a lawn crew had a dispute or something like this. We weren't really getting any information on it because it was on a different frequency than we were assigned. We all drove out there just as fast as we could in 5 o'clock traffic and pull in there and see a Cadillac with the driver slumped over with a bullet wound between the eyes. I'm thinking, wow, this is not the cleanup crew or not the lawn crew. That's where the twists and turns started that particular day.
So were you the first to look in the car?
I was the first detective at the scene to look in the car. There was already a couple of patrolmen there. One of them, very ironically, and this is jumping ahead a tiny bit, was from Boston, Massachusetts. And it turns out that his Little League baseball coach was a FBI agent by the name of Dennis Condon, who was actually the partner of H. Paul Rico, who was ultimately arrested by me for his role in the Wheeler murder. That was one of those 7 degrees of separation, but there was only like 2 degrees there.
Tell us what you saw when you looked in that car.
Well, Mr. Wheeler was seated in a late model Cadillac. He was dressed in a suit. He had a leather workout bag with his golf clothing in it. And you knew that there was a successful Southern Hills Club member seated behind that wheel and shot between the eyes. Right outside the door were several live rounds of .38 caliber ammunition lying on the ground. A lot of speculation as to what that meant. In fact, years of speculation as to what that meant.
But it was one bullet that was fired into his body.
Absolutely. There was just one bullet fired, which kind of makes you think that somebody knew what they were doing. So we just had the task of that whole methodical process that night.
What was your immediate reaction in terms of who would do something like this?
You know, I had just a couple weeks before gotten involved in an investigation where a successful man just a few blocks away from Southern Hills got robbed and threatened with a gun about 58th and Harvard. That was my first thought. I'm thinking, you know, maybe they were trying to rob him because he had a very expensive gold watch on that was visible, and maybe something went bad. You know, as I look back, when I was 25 years old, I was naive. I was not worldly, if you would. And you look back to an era that if you don't go to the library and pick up a book to read, that was the sole source of information or whatever you could get on the 3 channels of television. Now we're inundated with information. It's so easy to get. A cell phone is a computer. So that naivety, the thought of the mafia coming to Tulsa wasn't in my wheelhouse.
Let's just state here, we're talking about Roger Wheeler of Tulsa, as a businessman, chairman of the Telex Corporation. He was owner of World Hi-Li, and he was 55 years old. Let's back out and lay some groundwork to that day. We go back to the Winter Hill Gang out of Boston. Just briefly tell us, who were they?
The Winter Hill Gang was a group of Irish mobsters that coexisted with the traditional Italian mafia in Boston. The Winter Hill Gang at that time was a guy by the name of Howie Winter, who had no real play in the Winter Hill. That was just a section of a suburb of Boston. Howie Winter, a guy named Stevie the Rifleman Flemmy, was in the hierarchy. James Whitey Bulger was in the hierarchy. Their muscle man was a guy by the name of John Vincent Martirano. These guys were just Boston thugs, loan sharking and gambling, maybe a little bit of enforcement for the Italian mob. These were the guys in that era of time that were just your thugs. They were a loose-knit organized crime family. That's where that was. I had never even heard of them. The fact that they could come to Tulsa, Oklahoma just was not even a thought to me.
Well, we'll get into some more details, but of those crew, they were skimming $10,000 a week from the parking lot operation at World Highline?
Well, that has never been proven, but has been alluded to and probably happened. They had some connections right into the parking operation. One of the most heralded FBI agents by the name of H. Paul Rico had retired from the FBI in Miami. He had spent most of his career in Boston. He was from Boston. He had gone to work for World High Line before Mr. Wheeler had purchased World High Line in about 1978. Wheeler loved and trusted the FBI, thanks to Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. and the TV show, and felt very secure that he had FBI agents because there was a number of retired agents working at World High Line. He felt very secure with that. Rico had a storybook-type career on its surface. When you talk about the witness protection program, he had developed the very first witness that they modeled that program after. They created it because of a mafia witness that Rico had developed. Rico was very close to J. Edgar Hoover. He had his own legendary type career also, which was believed to be value to Wheeler when he purchased World High Line.
And then we should just say what High Line is.
World High Line is a game created in the border region between Spain and France, the Basque territory. It's a game where you have what's called a cesta, which is a basket that is actually lashed to your arm. You sling, literally the shape of the basket allows you to sling a very hard ball called a pelota to a wall, and it's kind of a handball game. It's real fast-moving, and it became a paramutual sport in the 20s when a family in Boston created World High Line, which ultimately spread to Florida. Very attractive to organized crime. At that time, betting facilities weren't on every corner. There wasn't a casino everywhere. At that time, you had your horse tracks, your dog tracks, and legal betting, and you had High Line. High Line was very unique. In a horse, you're betting one horse against the other. It's not a complete opportunity to control or fix a race, although it happens. High Line is a situation where you're betting on one man against another man, which gives you the opportunity to corrupt it and to throw heavily weighted games. So that became a very lucrative target, we believe, for organized crime. That was in the 70s and 80s.